We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Still recovering from that Love is Blind episode last night.
Wow.
Still recovering.
What was the episode last night?
It was...
They went wedding shopping dresses. For wedding dresses.
Oh, that one got emotional.
And Kelly...
I never imagined...
She doesn't want to have sex with them.
Yeah.
Oh, that is...
That's not... Real heartbreaker.
It was a bombshell. Absolutely, bombshell.
Is that important in a relationship?
No. I mean, it might be something you want to do before you get married. Well, I mean, I don't know.
So, yeah, so Kenny is probably thinking it's happening soon. And because of that, I bet you guys that he got a Manscaped 3.0 perfect package kit to prepare for the big day.
That was perfection.
You should. You should have.
Manscaped is a partner of DNVR, if you haven't noticed. And they're here to remind everyone to keep your balls clean. If you use the promo code DNVR20 for 20% off, you'll get free shipping at manscaped.com, and you'll get, like I mentioned, the Lawnmower 3.0, the perfect package, and that comes with, you guys described it as just pure ball deodorant, so we'll just go with that, and a bunch of other stuff.
So are you saying it's the perfect package to make the perfect package?
There you go. Exactly, AJ.
That's it.
Use the code DNVR20 for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com.
Nobody out. 3-2 on Charlotte.
Jokic gets it across the timeline. Gets a high pick and pop with Murray.
Lindsay breaking through.
Taken away by Nathan MacKinnon. 2-on-2 with Landeskog.
He has done it again. Vaughn Miller, ladies and gentlemen.
Dark two hands. Nikola Jokic.
Save me by Grubauer with the left pad. Oh, goodness gracious me.
Take a good look, you won't see it for long. Two-run home run, Trevor Story.
Lock, end zone, touchdown! Number two for Sutton.
Got it! Oh, man! That's from way downtown! And the blue arrow is flying at Pepsi Center.
Score! It's too good to be true!
To the Denver Sports Podcast presented by Breckenridge Brewery, our favorite brewery in Colorado. I'm actually bummed I didn't grab one to be drinking right now.
Ooh, that's what I should have too.
During these crazy times, we appreciate all the support you guys have given us, and one of the best ways to help us would be to support our partners. So they are offering curbside pickup and delivery from their farmhouse kitchen, which I ordered the
barbecue plate.
Yeah, the barbecue plate, which was like that enough for four.
That would kill her.
It was awesome. So good. Cornbread, pulled pork, ribs, and baked beans. And I got an apple pie. And you could add for $5 a case of Breck Brews. I was set.
That's phenomenal. Apple, that's not cherry, yeah?
Apple pie all the way, not cherry.
Yeah, apple pie is the goat pie.
Agreed. Call 303-803-1380 from 12 to 8 p.m. for pickup. Or like I said, they can also deliver it right to your door. Let's start off with some friendly banter, guys. How's everyone doing on like day 15 of quarantine?
Feels like day 20. Doing good. Hanging in there. As you can see on my rocking chair, I've gained a lot of wisdom, I think, in this time. And maybe becoming more patient, maybe not. My daughter, who's two, escaped, has found a way to escape the gate from our backyard and just wandered out in the front yard. I realized this. Kate was on a Zoom call herself, stormed out, expecting to have to chase my child during a pandemic in a neighborhood. Thank God she was just there by the side of the car, because this is what she likes to do now. She likes to go in the car and like be in the driver's seat and mess around with the button. So that's how it's going.
Seems a little hectic.
Yeah, you can say that.
I could go for some of that excitement, Andre. I could use some of that.
I believe it. Yeah, I hear you.
No, but I feel like I've been sleeping in super late, as we were talking about before the call. But I just spoke with Steve Hess for just a Q&A interview that's actually on the DMVR.com right now. Steve Hess gets up at 3 a.m. and is still working 17-hour days during the pandemic.
3 a.m.? What is the need? Please tell me why 3 a.m.
He's been getting up at 3 a.m. for like 30 years.
I mean, I guess if you're in a habit and that's just like what you do every day.
He was like so energetic over the phone though while we were talking. It inspired me to like kick my life into gear.
I feel like this quarantine has actually made it so I need two coffees a day instead of just one. Because I like wake up, I'm like, I need a coffee. And then by like 3 o'clock, I'm like, oh, I think I need another one to just keep going.
Pretty much.
How about you, AJ and Patrick?
Yeah, I've hit the two coffee threshold as well. I usually only try to have one and get through the day with, you know, whatever else I can, a kombucha or some tea as my caffeine. But yeah, I've had to up it to two cups, and I feel like I need less rest. I don't know why. It's just, I don't think I'm doing quite as much during the day, obviously, getting my steps in and whatnot. And, you know, with self-quarantining and isolating myself, I feel like I don't have to like fight off as many germs. So then I'm not like, oh, stay in bed for 9+ hours. No, I'm getting by with a little bit less, and it's been okay.
That's good. How about you, AJ?
Yeah, you know, time is a made-up human construct and is entirely irrelevant these days. So anytime I'm just like, oh, I'm tired, I just go and take a nap. Because there's no reason not to. I don't have anywhere to be. I don't have anything to do. I don't have any, like, particular schedule that I have to adhere to. Now that our series, our DNVR Watches series is over until Monday, it's like, I'm kind of irrelevant in the world for a few days, so I'm just drifting through time and space, trying to continue to exist.
All right.
It sounds like your spirit animal would be a cat, just taking those naps whenever you want.
There will be a person who listens to this who finds that incredibly funny.
I have been learning how to play the piano, which that's been a good productive thing. Okay. The second thing, though, is I've been baking a lot, and ooh, I think the quarantine 15 is real. I really need to start getting back on working out.
I'm losing weight. I've been wearing my jeans to be productive, and I'm losing weight. I'm not going out by the office to eat lunch every day and eating garbage. That's been a big game changer for me.
Yeah, I made 24 cupcakes, and I'm making a flan.
Yeah, I think we're spending eating at home, right? Yeah, not eating out as much?
I think so.
Yeah?
I've dropped a couple pounds, too. I've been rationing off the calories just in case, so I have one less trip to the grocery store, you know, every couple weeks. And, yeah, I'm the same, Andre. I'm enjoying life, buttoning that top button on my pants these days.
Yeah, that is nice. It is nice.
It's a game changer.
I don't know. I was thinking I'd save money too, Harrison, and now I'm realizing we're spending a ton on groceries all of a sudden.
Yeah.
We're stocking up, you know, and you only try to go once a week, but then we don't feel like cooking after busy days where we're both working from home, so we're ordering it.
We're ordering in some too.
That's good. Support your local businesses. Yeah, so that's a good one. But unfortunately, I have to bring up the sad news of the fact that the Rockies would be at Coors Field today for opening day. And I feel like everyone on social media has kind of been reminiscing on being at Coors Field. And once this is all over, Patrick, you had a good tweet about it will be over if we all listen to the rules that are being put in place. But when it is all over, I feel like people are really going to enjoy the little things like going out and watching a baseball game and drinking a beer and just like being outside. So I guess that's
attendances will definitely start to go through the roof. I think just all across, you know, sports, but definitely here in Denver, you know, with the nice facilities that we have in Lodo, particularly Coors Field. But it's sad. This also, we went through it on opening day. So we know what to expect. I don't know how Harrison and AJ are doing with the fact that they're, you know, they got so close to the precipice there and they're not going to find out who the best of the best actually is. So that is a challenge unto itself.
Yeah, I want to go around. I feel like everyone here has some sort of opening day at Coors Field experience, or even if you weren't at Coors Field, just something, because it really is like a holiday here in Denver. So if you guys have a favorite memory, Harrison, I'll start with you. Do you have anything that sticks out in your mind of an opening day in Denver?
I used to work for a company in Denver, a software company, and just for an idea of how big of a deal opening day is for everyone, not just like sports fans like us, we ended the day at 12 and like rented out the top of Tap 14 for the entire afternoon. Like that's what we did every opening day.
Wow.
That is so, like, awesome.
Yeah, that was always super fun. And I remember I used to work at the Rockies actually right out of college, and the opening day was the biggest day of the year for sure. Like by far the only day of the year I wore a suit. Yeah.
What about you, Andre?
Yeah. You know, what really sticks out to me would be the first ever and how I heard about it from afar as a kid, the first ever home opener for the Rockies, you know, as a kid who loved Colorado sports though, when we added teams in the mid-90s to early 2000s, it was almost like learning a whole new sport and having it dropped on your lap. And that was really how that first, you know, home opener was, at Mile High, and just hearing about it from my grandpa and, you know, 2 weeks later getting the paper in the mail and reading through everything that went down. That one, you know, I mean, that's like the genesis of baseball for me. So that really sticks out. And in general, the one that sticks out recently was Freeland and the home open, how special that was. Just, you know, with his parents and girlfriend going crazy in the stands and the constant shots and that. That was just the greatest. I'm so bummed that it's supposed to be opening day, which is like, it's like the beginning of summer and we don't have it. It is just...
Yeah, the beginning of summer is Charlie Blackman's walk-up song.
Oh, yes.
That is officially the beginning of summer.
I'm over here dying laughing because Brendan Vogt is live tweeting some of our takes right now. And he said, quick round of quarantine updates at Andre Simone's daughter almost ran away. That's all he said.
I mean, correction, she did run away. We're just lucky that she didn't go very far.
Oh, that was a funny one. But AJ, any memory that sticks out to you?
To be honest, not really. I was at the first ever Rockies opening day. I was young, I don't remember it.
That's pretty cool though.
Yeah, it's like a thing that I don't remember but took part in. Like, cool. And then opening day is usually a really busy time for me, so I don't really, you know, it's the end of hockey season. Like the Avs regular season would be finishing tomorrow.
Yeah.
So my focus is usually elsewhere. Baseball doesn't start for me until like June.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
AJ, that's pretty big bragging rights, because that means you're one of only 80,000 people who were at that game. It's the largest attended Rockies game in their history. So that's some,
yeah, like, it's bragging rights. It's cool. I wish I remembered something from it so I could actually 80,000. Be like, oh, like going to Mile High Stadium and like the whole shebang, right? And I don't remember any of it.
The wildest one for me was 2 years ago. I was relatively new to the company and hanging out with Lindsay at Will Call all morning and afternoon, as you know, Drew kept going back and forth from the stadium to Will Call, and it's going to be a little bit of a delay. And he would go back to the stadium and he would come back because it was snowing that day. That was, we had gotten snow in 2018, and that was a real wild one against Atlanta. Wow. So that's what I remember, and meeting Tracy Ringlesby for the first time. So that was kind of special.
That one was also my first opening day in Colorado. And I went to the game because people I was with were like, it's the cheapest opening day tickets we'll ever find. Like, come on, you can sit in like the 100 section for like $45. And I'm like, maybe there's a reason for that. But no, I was convinced by saying, oh, it's just going to be like a football game. Like, you're in the cold during a football game. We'll be prepared. So we went, and it was a terrible game for the Rockies. They lost 9-1. And we did not leave until the final pitch in the ninth inning. And it was around 20 degrees, and like, you couldn't even drink a beer because it was too cold to even hold the beer or even then try and chug it. It just wasn't happening. But, you know, it's an experience I will always remember. Oh, that was
I was at, speaking of cold Rockies games, 2007, I think, divisional round against the Padres. It was snowing, I think, for one of those games. And I was there with my buddy. We were in, high school. Yeah, I guess high school. The these people in front of us bought us hot chocolates because they couldn't buy us a beer.
Oh, wow.
That was clutch.
Oh, yeah. Hot chocolate. The line to get hot chocolates 2 years ago was ridiculous. Like, you would miss a whole inning because of the line. And quick throwback to people saying it's going to be like a football game. During a football game, you are standing and cheering most of the time. The Rockies scored one run. You can imagine that we were not standing and cheering or doing anything for most of that game.
Yeah, Germán got lit up on that one, right? That was just a wild one.
He didn't wear long sleeves, and that was kind of the big discussion, big talking point. And then later on in 2018, going into the playoffs, again, in that Brewers series where they were swept, the big announcement was, yeah, I think I'm going to go long sleeves this time. I learned from the beginning of 2018.
That's funny.
Yeah, that season started in the snow and ended in the snow.
Yep. Patrick, you have a different kind of view of opening day since you're working it the last 2 years. So what is that like on on opening day for you as a media member?
It's pretty huge. It's a fantastic moment, you know, for the entire city. There's a lot of different views that, you know, I kind of have in it as the fan, the inner child inside of me as the Coloradoan, you know, seeing it, what it's like from the fans with unfurling the U.S. flag. And then also on the press side where you go into the clubhouse and talk with players and, you know, as is the case, there's people there from the press and certain television stations that you don't see for 5 months of the season. And then you see them on the home opener, you see them at the end of the season if they're making a run into the playoffs. So there's a little extra juice in the ballpark there. And it's one of the many first days that you get back, like in spring training, the actual opening day, and then the home opener. So it's just a way to welcome back. And there's always a lot of hope, even if the Rockies are going into that first game, you know, with a losing record. It's only been a couple games, and it's very electric. It's the place to be. Even if you can't get into the stadium, you definitely want to be in Modo when the Rockies, you know, open up for the season.
Yeah, I definitely didn't realize how big, like, and I grew up in D.C. and Philly, and opening day was definitely big in Philly, but not very much in D.C., not like it is in Colorado and in Denver, and I feel like it's definitely worth, if you're booking a trip to try and plan one out around opening day weekend here in Denver, because the city is electric. Like, everyone is out, everyone's drinking, everyone's at all the bars and just having a good time. Like Harrison was saying, a bunch of people get off work early or they get the day off. It's definitely like a really, really cool experience to be in Denver in general.
there are even some school districts in the area that will give off the entire district the day because, hey, a lot of families in the community end up going down, on opening day at Coors Field. So they, when they're planning out the entire school year and making up the calendar, one of the first things they actually put on there, besides a lot of major holidays, is the opening, the opener for the Rockies.
That's crazy.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's a thing. That is a thing.
It would have been another snopening day. Is that how you say it?
Mm. Yeah, you nailed it.
Because it is, at least earlier today it was snowing. Here where I am right now, everything's pretty cleared up. But it would have been snowing. And if it was snowing, the Rockies would have definitely needed to hit up Denver Rubber Company. They're the most reliable local partners for your long-term projects. Since 1972. Hold on, I was trying to put the graphic on the screen at the same time. I'm producing and talking. It's a little bit harder.
The 50th anniversary is coming up. I can't wait.
No way. Well, I hope that snow isn't staying around, but if it does, Denver Rubber Company is your one-stop shop for anything when it comes to snow plows. Be sure to call them today for any snow plow needs, custom gaskets, hoses, etc. 1-800-259-0010 or visit them at drcfirst.com/dnvr and tell them who sent you. Back to the main screen. As we are talking about opening days, I have a question for all of you on what do you guys think is the best sports holiday? We just talked about how in Denver, opening day really is a holiday for the city. But what other sports holidays are there? And then which ones do you think are the best? There's some Super Bowl. There's a Super Bowl, March Madness, Christmas Day games for the NBA. Harrison, what do you think of that?
Yeah, Christmas Day games are cool. Like the marquee players, the marquee teams, for sure. A lot of eyeballs on the games, too. I'd say March Madness, though. Thursday, Friday, first weekend of March Madness is tops for me.
I definitely agree with that. What about you, Andre?
For me, it's not even close. It's the NFL draft. I mean, those 3 days are better than Christmas. They're better than anything for me. And I'm really glad we still have that. I'd be in a rough spot if it wasn't for that. That's really been keeping me going. In fact, I'm scared of what May will bring when the draft is over for me. But yeah, it's all about the NFL draft. For me, National Signing Day, the way it used to be where it was one date, that would be a close second. When I used to do freelance translations, I'd always take the 3 days of the draft off because I was doing stuff. And then if I could, I'd move my schedule around to where National Signing Day I wasn't working.
But in my opinion, National Signing Day isn't like a day that everyone's like, oh, I don't know. It's not as big as like March Madness or the Super Bowl, you know?
No, sure. It's true.
What is that thumbs down, AJ?
National Signing Day is stupid.
What? Oh, yeah. It's so fun.
Not only is it not a holiday, but it's dumb.
It's not even a bank holiday. It's... Well, so important.
It's stupid. Like so many of those guys aren't going to do anything like with the programs they even sign with. Like not even like, oh, they won't be like meaningful college players. It's not even what I'm saying, which also is true, but so what? A lot of guys who get drafted don't do anything either. It doesn't make the draft any less awesome. But like so many of the guys who sign with like, oh, they get hurt and then they get released from the scholarship and then whatever. It's just, it's a racket. It's exploitative of teenagers. I think it sucks.
And it's like, you're getting hyped about guys you've never heard of up to 20 minutes ago. It's
and like, who's out there deciding these like 4 stars, 5 stars? Like,
oh, it's manufactured like, hype. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal.
It's so
theater.
Stupid because it's like, oh, Alabama offered a guy. He must be 4 stars. Nobody's ever heard of him, but Alabama's offering him, so he's got to at least be 4 stars. And it's just, it's so stupid. There's no way that these services can accurately canvas all of the high schools in the country and compare players and try and come up with any kind of a pool or a ranking system and be like, yeah, these are the best. Like, The absolute best of the best, they stand out. You look at the NFL draft every year, and there's a handful of them. But then there are these guys who you always hear about it, like, oh, this zero-star recruit is going to be a top-five pick. And you're like, who cares? He was a zero-star recruit like 5 years ago. Shut up. The whole thing is dumb. It's one of the worst parts about college sports. March Madness, amazing. The first round of the NHL playoffs, amazing. The NFL draft, incredible. Love all of that. That is all fantastic. But signing day, we should honestly kick him out of here. That's the worst Andre take that has ever happened.
Is NHL trade deadline up there for you?
Not anymore because of the way that it's just changed. It used to be, but with the way that teams are now, like they kind of poo-poo it a little bit. We don't want to do anything.
Right,
we're still in it because of the way the standings are set up now. Teams that think they're like, oh, we're 6 points out. We're going to make a run. Like they don't ever make the run, but they keep their guys. It's nowhere near as much fun.
Yeah, I was looking at a list to try and figure out more examples to give you guys. National Signing Day was on there, and I was like, it's not really.
Nope, cut it.
So it is. It's garbage. In college football places, it is.
It's garbage.
Okay. Going back to Andre real quick, the draft is really exciting. Not surprising that is your favorite day of the year. But we've got a lot coming from the DNVR.com with our coverage on the draft, since it's really the only sporting thing that's going to be really happening. So definitely stay tuned for all of our content that we're going to be pushing out for that. So AJ, so National Signing Day, or now you got in my head.
Yes, number one.
Yeah.
The draft is both Andre and AJ's favorite. Harrison's got March Madness. What about you?
I love the draft too. I mean, I'm a huge sucker for the NBA draft.
NBA draft?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Just seeing who the Sacramento Kings bust on every year, I mean, that's like must-see TV.
That's good stuff. The Super Bowl is really the most true, whether you like it or not. I've kind of grown old of that, but a good kind of, you know, second place is, I'd say, New Year's Day. There's a lot of college bowl games on, or at least, you know, less in the past. You do have the Winter Classic, which is always great. Again, even if you're not a huge hockey fan, you got to tune into that just because it's such a unique competition. And, you know, between those two, and there's usually a couple of NBA games on, things of that nature, nobody really wants to go out anyway on January 1st after the debauchery you got into the night before. So I think that's kind of the perfect time where everybody is staying home and thinking about sports and really, you know, enjoying it the most.
Definitely. I think my two would be opening day and the Super Bowl, just because they're like the most, the thing that you get, like, I will like track. Well, Super Bowl, I like to watch at home because I like to actually watch the game. But a lot of people go to Super Bowl parties. It's like a whole thing. And same with what we already talked about, opening day being like. But is there anything else that's like a sports holiday in hockey, AJ?
Like the first round of the playoffs is honestly everybody's favorite. The Stanley Cup playoffs are unparalleled across sports. None of the other sports can even come within a country mile of their intensity and their competitiveness from round one on, because all the other sports you get the predictable blowouts, and they happen in hockey, but not very often. Like you'll see sweeps and things, but usually you're pretty shocked by them. Like they're not a very common occurrence to see teams just stomp the other ones in the postseason. And just the Stanley Cup playoffs just have a different feel to them. There's just a different level of intensity that hockey brings, every shift brings, just because the inherent way that the game is played. You know, sports are so situational, and hockey is the most fluid out of all of them, where the scoring matters. You know, there's 2 hours of scoring takes place in a basketball game, and you're still like, okay, well, what's about to happen? You know, in hockey, it's, you know, 5 goals a game, and whoever gets to three kind of, you know, that's the race, right? And I think this the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs is great because you get three games back to back to back every single night for the entire first round. Sometimes four, sometimes five, depending on the schedule, but a minimum of basically three games every night. And it's just like hockey nirvana. You just sit back. This is what you've been waiting for all season. It's before the teams are tired because they haven't gone through multiple rounds of the playoffs. The war of attrition hasn't really begun. And everybody's absolutely amped out of their minds. And it's those first, like the first like 3 days of the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's just like, it's like a, it's hockey heaven for all of us. And there isn't a hockey fan out there who will disagree that the first couple of days of the playoffs are fantastic.
I feel like also a lot of fans that a lot of people who aren't really diehard fans to specific teams or to like the regular season in hockey love to tune in during the playoffs just because of how much more like how much more intensity it is and just everything about the playoffs and the Stanley Cup is just is crazy.
Yeah. And it's one of the few times that hockey's kind of on the big stage because the NBA season hasn't finished yet. Football is, you know, just not in season at all. Baseball's only just begun, but it's after opening day. So it's sort of like hockey has – it's the one time in, like, the major, like, North American sports conscience that hockey is at the forefront for just those couple of days. And then, you know, and then it goes back to being – the fourth banana and, you know, whatever. But that's when it's like standing front and center and it's rewarding. It's you get the highest quality of hockey and you get only good teams. There are no bad teams that are playing on those days. And there are no teams that make the NHL postseason that you can make an argument that they didn't deserve to be there. And I think that's the only I think the NHL and baseball are the two leagues where that's true. There's only good teams that make the postseason.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Harrison, what about for the NBA besides the draft NBA draft day?
July 1st, which is the start of free agency.
Yeah.
Which, like, every summer it seems like it's crazier than the last summer, although, like, obviously this summer might be pretty mellow.
You guys go nuts, man. Like, July 1st is a big deal for us. But it's like the entire like competitive landscape doesn't change every July 1st. It yeah, does in the NBA. And I'm like, it's exhausting to watch. It's great from afar, but covering it, that would be exhausting. Because it's like, oh, you build a team, the world changes every July 1st.
I mean, we're at a point now where like 50% of the league is changing over during the free agency period every summer. And it's not just the bottom of the roster guys. It's like superstars and all-stars literally changing teams every summer. And
it's flipped on its head.
Yeah.
It's unreal. I think it's great for the league from a content standpoint, terrible for the league from like a true basketball standpoint and like building fan bases and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, the first week of July is just nuts.
Christmas Day is a big one for the NBA too. Obviously, I think, you know, that's definitely grown in the past decade or so, especially when you've got, you know, the Christmas Day uniforms too. Like that's kind of a big reveal, like, you know, how are they going to change it up? What kind of alternate jerseys are the teams going to be wearing on Christmas Day? And I think that's one that I know a lot of folks get excited for. I don't follow the NBA terribly close, but it's like, yeah, I'm going to watch on Christmas Day with family when after you've eaten, open your gifts and you're a little less interested in your family at that point, you can watch some basketball. And they usually have the top teams too. They very much cherry pick that. And I think when they go about their season, they're looking at Christmas Day as for them, a hallmark date, you know, to have some of their best matchups.
Yeah. Well, it's the day that NBA is kind of circled and they're like, all right, this is our day.
Yeah,
this is our day.
The other leagues, like the NHL, like you're not allowed to play on Christmas.
they stopped doing the uniform thing though, when Nike took over.
Fun fact: MLB has never played a game on Christmas Day either. So
oh really? Oh. Wow.
Yeah. Thanksgiving too, I think. I may have to check my record books, but also never on Thanksgiving.
That just reminds me of Christmas Day this year and the Nuggets finally being back on the big screen for Christmas and them just not playing too well.
Yeah, they losing to Zion Williamson-less Pelicans.
Yeah, see,
terrible at the time.
I spent Christmas Day this year in a sports book watching all the NBA game.
Yeah.
What a man. What this makes me think is April is absolutely my favorite sports month because we have like three or four of these holidays in April.
That's
trouble. And I'm just so mad we only have the draft.
It's really like once March Madness starts, it's like a sprint to the end of NBA and NHL seasons.
Yeah.
And then, like, after July 1st, it's just, like, everybody kind of goes into a sports coma because it's just like, oh, great, the middle 5 months of baseball. And then football starts, and then the end of, and then September baseball happens, and then everybody gets geared up again. But, like, mid-March through, like, June, oh, just a killer sports time.
Andre, you seem frustrated, and you know what can help with that? Some Breck brews from Davidson's.
True.
They can deliver to you. You don't even have to leave your house. You can keep all eyes on Lucia, make sure she isn't going anywhere, while Davidson's has your back and is driving your alcohol to your house for you.
Love it.
Yeah, can the Breck brew watch Lucia? Because Andre clearly can't. She's taking off on him like that. That's bad news, dude.
I didn't think she could open the gate.
Andre, you need a security system where all of the beer that you get from Davidson's, you stack the cans up, and then if she breaks through that barrier of empty cans, boom.
That's a good way to go about it.
Come on, Davidson's got you for that.
I was actually on the phone with Andre right after it happened when they were in car time with Lucia. She just kept saying hi, and then she got sick of me and was like bye. I'm like, thanks, Lucia. But he seemed pretty panicked about the whole situation.
Oh yeah,
between Lucia and Gallo, you're
yeah, I've got my hands full, brother. I've got my hands full. You can say that again. Oh,
all right, don't. Davidson's is offering curbside pickup or delivery. Download their app today for incredible deals and sign up for their loyalty program. You can get Breck Brew's delicious 15-can sampler delivered to your door. And if you do use Davidson's for pickup or delivery, be sure to tag them and us when you grab your booze so we can see what you're getting. I ran out of all Breck Brews, and I need to go stock up. So I think I'm going to have to take this up on it before we start more DNVR watches and we finish up Love is Blind. You need your alcohol before that.
You need a alcoholic beverage during the time. Absolutely necessary.
If Jessica's on my screen one more time about age and I'm not drinking, I'll freak out. But let's move on to some more current events for this third segment. Let's start with you, Andre. As the Broncos representative today, from the last time we talked, we had a whole TDSP on free agency and all of that. Since then, the last move the Broncos have made, and pretty much the last move of free agency for them because of the cap, was re-signing Shelby Harris. What do you think of that move?
Yeah, I mean, really valuable move. We didn't think that would be his market to be able to sign him for another year. Really improves their defensive line depth, gives them a little more versatility. And now all of a sudden that doesn't need to be a priority with one of their picks in the top three rounds. So they can focus on other needs, especially along the offensive line and wide receiver. So I think it's a sneaky nice move because now it allows them to use those draft assets towards other positions. And slowly but surely this Broncos roster, if we'll get to playing next year, is looking pretty promising, assuming they can nail this draft, which they have all the pieces in place to do so.
I saw a few fans on social talking about whether the Broncos should have re-signed Shelby or re-signed Derek Wolfe. How do you feel about that? Do you think they made the right call?
Wolf is probably the better player, but again, this is a depth piece, and we haven't really seen Wolf be able to stay healthy for an entire season since Super Bowl 50. So I think when you add a depth piece, you like to have the guy who's healthier and promises to actually give you that depth for 16 games and not just be there for 8 games. The other thing is Wolf, while he is the better player, he got signed for over $5 million by the Ravens, and that's probably a little more expensive than the Broncos were looking for.
Yeah, that was definitely pretty surprising to see that he got that much money from the Ravens, but we'll
see. Did you like in the draft for the Broncos, Andre?
Oh, I think they can't go wrong with any of the top wide receivers or top tackles. There's 4 great tackles and 3 really great wide receivers. If you can have one of those guys fall to you, you're really going to be in a good spot. I love Mekhi Becton. I like Tristan Wirfs, Andrew Thomas on the tackles. And, you know, the 3 wide receivers, CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, or Henry Ruggs, you can't go wrong there. So whoever drops, I want them.
Andre, do you think – I don't think the Broncos are going to be able to get any of those receivers if they don't make some trades. What do you think?
Probably. I've been back and forth on this. I think lately I'm getting the vibes that, yeah, probably they won't be able to get one of those 3 receivers unless they move up. And it's interesting that now with the Niners 2 picks ahead of them, John Elway has a good friend in John Lynch he can call up and kind of finagle some trades. They always seem to be making moves with the 49ers. So maybe that's an option to just move up 2 spots, only give up 1 third rounder instead of multiple third rounders and still get your wide receiver.
Definitely. Well, like I mentioned, Andre is working on a lot of great draft content. Our whole team, honestly, is going to really dive in and tackle this draft. So be sure to subscribe to thednvr.com to get all of that amazing content. Harrison, the Bulls are trying to steal Nuggets assistant GM. That came in this morning, and then I saw Adam talk – not steal, obviously, I was joking, but take him. And I saw Adam saying, I don't know.
Make it sound like really a kidnapping true. Now.
I know. You know, talking about Lucia running away, that's just, like, what's in my mind right now. Do you think that's actually a possibility?
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, Arturis Karnisovas, the Nuggets GM, has been here since 2013. Really well-respected guy for the league, instrumental in building this Nuggets roster, super connected internationally. He's a legendary player that played on the Lithuanian national team in the Olympics. So, like, he is so well-connected across Europe, across the world. And he's been a finalist before for top basketball decision-making posts in Milwaukee. He interviewed for the Brooklyn job a few years ago, the 76ers job years ago. So he's a guy who's been on the top of team's radar for a long time. And I think it's only a matter of time until he gets a president of basketball operations job and kind of runs his own team. I think he would have interest in Chicago. It's like a big market. The ownership has been kind of up and down. Yeah. Like, not up and down, it's been bad. But, you know, it's a city in Chicago that has a huge Eastern European population as well. And I think that a team like the Knicks would have interest in him too. So he's super well regarded. He's a high level executive. And I think eventually he's going to get one of these jobs. It's probably only a matter of time.
All right, and then last current event for today would be the Avs just taking care of some summer business early with a few contract extensions for some of their Colorado Eagles guys. Patrick and AJ can talk about this one. How did you guys feel about those moves?
TJ Tynan, leading scorer. It's just a good move. Veteran AHL guy. No offense to him, but we saw this year why he has not had an NHL career. He's just not quite effective in the role he needs to play.
He played in 16 games for the Avs this season, right?
Yeah. And didn't do much in any of them, yeah. To be honest.
I think so, he had like 1 goal or 1 point.
Yeah, and I think it came in the 9-4 beatdown of Nashville, where it was like, if he didn't get a point that day, like, it was like 3-point day at Pepsi Center. Tynan will be great for the Eagles. 1 year deal. He can be go back and be their top scorer. He's one of the top AHL players right now. This is only good business. Jacob McDonald, 2 year deal. I liked a lot more just because I think it has some dark horse potential to mean something for the Avalanche. They have a lot of expiring contracts on defense at the NHL and AHL levels. So if they decide to cut some of those guys loose and not bring him back, McDonald would be a guy that has been trending upward for years and is a great story. An undrafted guy who didn't really have a very notable college career, barely latched on in pro hockey in North America in the ECHL several years ago, and worked his way up on AHL deals, you know, had an ECHL deal, got an AHL deal, and then finally to an NHL deal. And the Avs traded for him last year, and then he had a great year for the Eagles this year, playing both defense and forward. So it's ideally it's purely depth for both of those guys, but they're both very good Eagles players. And the real shame of this is that this is the best affiliate that the Avs have had in 15 years. And we don't get to see them make a playoff run. We don't know how good they would have been. But they would have absolutely... I think they would have won at least one round, and they might have pushed for two or three more if they stayed hot. So it's really disappointing, but they were two of the key players, Tynan and McDonald. So good signings, good players, important guys, important veterans for the Eagles. McDonald could be an Av if certain things shake out.
Yeah, you're right, AJ, with the Eagles. You know, they were surging there in the Pacific Division, especially, you know, right after the holiday break. And, you know, McDonald is probably the most interesting of the two. Like you said, we kind of seen, you know, to expect from Tynan. He's, yeah, you know, to use a baseball phrase, he's kind of a quadruple A player where, yep, he can dominate in the highest rung of the minors. But, you know, then when he, you know, comes up in the spotlight, you know, it doesn't necessarily translate. But, yeah, you know, with McDonald, like, as you said, you know, he's one of the top scores for a defenseman, albeit, you know, he's playing as a forward. So has some interesting, you know, skill set there that it'll be really cool to see how the Avs, you know, can use him next year. And possibly, like you said, AJ, he could move up into one of those, yeah, more impactful roles on the roster.
Yeah, it's I like McDonald a lot. He really I latched on to him a lot as the season went on, and think that he'll have,
yeah,
a chance next year.
Yeah, you seemed hyped on social when, yeah, they re-signed him.
He's a guy, and I had talked to a number of people in the organization because I was planning on doing a bigger piece on him during the Eagles postseason run, because he is such an interesting guy. You normally, the undrafted guy that works his way up just doesn't really happen in hockey very often. And this guy, like, just cut his way through. I mean, it's very rare that a guy who scored, like, 20 points in 4 years in college hockey has 20-goal seasons in the AHL as a defenseman. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. He just continues, yeah, to get better. And I think he'll probably find some NHL ice next year with the Avs, and it'll be an awesome story.
Where was he in college?
He played at Cornell.
Okay, so I mean,
he played for a good program. Yeah.
Well, I didn't see anything news, like current news wise of the Rockies, Patrick, but you can correct me if I'm wrong, if there is anything.
No, unfortunately not. You know, on Friday, I talked about this on the Minor League Monday podcast we have for DNVR Rockies about the deal that was signed between the Players Association and MLB. Just basically, you know, giving the commissioner these rights to kind of either approve or make adjustments and alteration to the season. You know, we could have no All-Star game. You know, if baseball comes back and society comes back, you know, by the middle of July, that could be how the baseball season opens up, is with the All-Star game, which, you know, is very interesting. But the commissioner has the ability to change the playoff format. Obviously shorten the season at this point. It would be, you know, a godsend if MLB could play 100 games. But, you know, the commissioner has a little bit more leverage. There's a change to how the MLB draft is going to go this year, if there's one at all. Right. It's going from 40 rounds all the way down to 5.
Wow.
Wow.
Now players can still sign, right? If you didn't get taken in the first five rounds, you can still sign, but for $20,000. So it's a market drop off for guys who are still getting, you know, about $100,000 or more, you know, after the fifth round. There's guys getting, you know, $125,000 in the 11th and 12th round. So now you have some guys who, you know, you don't get taken in the top, you know, 200 picks. You might just go back for your senior year and play college ball because you're going to have that much better of a signing bonus. So this could really alter the landscape of baseball in a major way, and it could ultimately be the death knell for the short season leagues, which is what Major League Baseball is trying to do, is to lop off 42 minor league baseball teams. And this could be somewhat of a leverage point for them to be able to do that with the shortage of minor league players.
Wow. Yeah. That's huge.
So with the draft, Patrick, because those high school seniors that would be draft eligible, those college players that would be draft eligible, they can't play the season now. So you're going off of last year's evaluations, basically, right?
Yeah, you know, there's going to be some teams that have better scouting than others. I think most scouts, for the most part, have seen the guys that they wanted to see, and they're really maybe only losing out on, you know, one more look on those guys that they're thinking of taking. They already know who they like, but certainly a lot can happen in the spring season in college baseball and high school baseball that can, you know, vary where a guy gets selected. Mike Trout is one of the biggest examples. You know, when he slipped to the 26th pick overall in the first round, it's still pretty high, but he could have gone a lot higher. It just so happened that it had rained a lot in southern New Jersey that year. So he ends up slipping to the back of the first round to the Angels. There's going to be a lot of stories like that.
I'm curious because baseball has the rule where you can be drafted as a high school senior, but if you go to college, you have to stay in college, right? Mm-hmm. Unless you go to a community college. So are we talking about this could benefit the community colleges like a ton because high school seniors who would otherwise be draft eligible or guys who would be drafted highly might just go to community college for a year?
100%. Yeah, that's a big change. And ultimately, I think that's what Major League Baseball wants to do with minor leagues is to take a lot of the onus off of them and supporting some young players. And allowing them the opportunity to play in college. And really by the opportunity, I mean, colleges are now gonna be the ones who have to develop these players and house them and feed them rather than, you know, minor league baseball doing that. You could also see the case of former Braves draft pick a couple of years ago, Carter Stewart. He didn't get the money that he wanted out of them. So he actually last year went over to play in Japan. So we could start seeing American ball players who are, you know, on the cusp of being ready and should have been taken maybe in the first 10 rounds, they might bet on themselves and get a relatively lucrative contract to play over in Japan or South Korea and then come back to the States. So it's really going to change, you know, the landscape of professional and collegiate baseball.
That's crazy.
And what does this mean for the Rockies having a top 10 pick? How much harder is their job?
So, you know, I don't know that their job is necessarily harder, but the leverage that they would have gotten from that ninth overall pick, a lot of that is kind of washed away. Because when you have, you know, the better your picks are, I think the Rockies had the sixth most amount of money available in the draft of what would have been typically 40 rounds. So what happens is you can, let's say with the ninth overall pick, take a guy that was expecting to get selected in the end of the first round. And you say, look, I know this slot was for $3.5 million, but we're going to give you $3 million, which would have been more you would have gotten, you know, as the 30th pick. Now the Rockies save an extra $500,000, which they can go and use to entice another player who's thinking about going to college, you know, a high school kid. So you can move that money around however you want. And when you've got the ninth overall pick in each round, that means you've got that much more additional money to play around with, get creative and sign a lot more players of better talent and a better caliber than you would have normally.
It's a strategy that the Astros made famous when they went after guys like Carlos Correa early in the draft.
Bingo. Yeah, no, that's a great point. And I think after the first five rounds, now you have to sell players on your organization And if you're a young, college pitcher, you probably do not want to sign with the Rockies whatsoever. You also know, you might doubt their ability to develop players. I think the Rockies do a relatively good job. They're not the best. They're not the worst. But, you know, if you're the Dodgers or you're the Yankees, there's going to be guys saying, hey, I want the opportunity to play with those legacy teams. And again, the Rockies don't have that advantage. Yeah. So all of the advantage that they would have normally had has been washed away as of right now. It's pretty disappointing.
Wow. Well, I'm glad I asked you if there was any news, because we just learned a lot.
Other than that, no.
We just learned a lot about what's going on in the baseball world. Well, I think that's all we've got for you guys today. Just a reminder, we have a jam-packed DNVR Watches weekend schedule. We're watching the Broncos-Cowboys 2013 shootout tonight. Then the 2009 playoffs round two, game three for the Nuggets. We already finished the Avs 2001 Stanley Cup victory on Wednesday, which was honestly amazing. Then on Saturday, we've got Raptors versus Rugby United New York at 10 a.m. 1994, see you at Michigan, Miracle at Michigan at 1:30. I'm real excited to watch that one. Just watching the highlights get me hyped.
It's a really good game.
I've never seen it like fully. I'm really excited for it.
My family had it recorded on a VHS way back in the day, so I've seen that game like 1,000 times.
When I was like figuring out if it was the full game, I like watched the ending and was yelling at my computer, and it was so I can't wait to watch it with everyone. Then we're doing 2016 CSU versus New Mexico. That will be at 5 o'clock. And of course, Love is Blind at 8 p.m. And then Raptors versus Utah Warriors on Sunday. So we've got a lot for you guys. Don't forget to use the hashtag DNVRWatches if you're watching with us and tweeting and following along. This has been a lot of fun. It's been a fun series we've been doing.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Anybody watching the 2K tournament tonight?
Oh.
No. No.
I will be watching Broncos Cowboys, but that is a good option to have on the computer, on the laptop.
At this point, I'll probably be sleeping.
All right. Well, thank you all for watching. Thank you all for listening. Be sure to check out Manscaped, Denver Rubber Company, and Davidson's, and we'll see you guys next week.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.